It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and we're going to start with a story about a superhero, Marvel Comics' America Chavez.
Okay, so here we are, right? America Chavez is kidnapped, she is attacked, right? And she wakes up, and where is she? In the middle of a boxing ring.
This is the series author, Gabby Rivera.
She knows that the last thing that she remembers is that she was kissing her ex. Dun, dun, dun. And who's across from her but that same ex, Magdalena La Sirena, ready to box her out, ready to punch her out. And what happens? Bam! Magdalena throws the first punch. And America's like, but wait, we can work this out. And Magdalena is like, nope, they've got my dad.
America tries to dodge, but Magdalena is landing right and left hooks.
Bum, 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 bum.
Then all kinds of other bad guys show up.
All this chaos ensues. You got folks like whipping out their change.
Is this the end of America Chavez?
Crash.
Heck no. Because
America's grandma, the luchador, Madrimar, land in the ring to save the day.
America and her luchador grandma lock arms and leap into the air.
Boom! For the power stomp. And it flattens and decimates. And they save the day. And each other.
Woo! Go, America. Go, Grandma. I love it. Oh, Gabby, this scene makes very clear that America has superpowers. But should we also add that she is the first Latina queer superhero in the Marvel universe?
Yeah. But what makes her stand out is people want to say it's like the identities, right? The queerness, the Latinidad, like all, you know, the identities. But America Chavez is about, like, heart. She is about discipline and her own way. She wants to do things her own way. America Chavez is, like, sharp on the outside and so soft on the inside.
We all wish we were superheroes, able to fight off the meanies, protect our loved ones, and be true to ourselves. But for many of us, that's just a fantasy. Dealing with self-doubt is a constant battle. And openly talking about identity can quickly turn into a polarizing political debate. How can we embrace the nuances of being human? Today on the show, we contain multitudes. Stories and ideas from mere mortals who've managed to reconcile their conflicting emotions and circumstances to make art, find joy, even break Olympic records. Back to Gabby Rivera. As a child, the world was a scary place, and she felt like she was an easy target.
At no point did I think superheroes would become such a huge part of my life.
Here she is on the TED stage.
As a kid, I looked at them and I saw everything I wasn't. They had big muscles, supermodel good looks, and phenomenal cosmic powers. And me? I kind of look like this, except shorter and with frizzier hair. And I never felt powerful. I was always just one big ball of nervous, soft energy, and superheroes, much like the bullies at school, didn't seem to have a lot of room for that, for me. So I stayed away. And besides, who needs superheroes when you're surrounded by Puerto Rican women from the Bronx? My tías were cops and paramedics. My abuelas were seamstresses and sold jewelry up the street. And my mom got her master's degree in education and taught kindergarten in New York City public schools for over 30 years. So my superheroes were sitting around the dinner table with me. And I don't know how much time you've spent with Puerto Rican women from the Bronx, but we're also some of the world's greatest storytellers. And I'd sit there at my grandmother's dining room table, and I'd listen to the women in my family tell these wild, rambunctious tales about navigating their lives in the Bronx. And I wanted to be them so bad. But I wasn't tough like them either. So mostly I listened. And I soaked it in, and I found myself gravitating to the soft threads in their stories, and I wrote those down. The funny, the goofy, the gentle, those were my in the storytelling. So much so that I wrote a young adult novel.
Yeah, so Gabby, you started writing in your teens, but it wasn't until 2016 that your first novel came out. It's called Juliet Takes a Breath. And the main character, well, it kind of sounds like how you describe yourself, a chubby, queer Puerto Rican girl.
I know, what a stretch.
Right? Well, write what you know. Was it an autobiography?
I mean, sure, right? Like, for me, I write what I know. I mean, maybe with America Chavez, I was able to, like, go bonkers, right? Mm-hmm. But there's still a lot of what I know in that story. And with Juliet, it was just kind of, it's almost like a fictionalized memoir of sorts of what it was like coming out and finding feminism and coming from the Bronx and being at odds with my mom and, like, feeling also free, like, at 18, 19, if you're able, if you're lucky, you finally, like, get a handle on yourself and you're out in the world in a way that you've never been. Mm. You don't have to report back to your parents for the most part. You get to, like, make your own choices. And so there's something really sacred and special and beautiful about that moment in all of our lives. And Juliet Takes a Breath is like a love letter to that time in so many of our lives, you know? So yeah, it comes from my experience.
When you start to understand that it's okay to be complicated, and that's what being a grown-up is in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So your novel does really well. Author Roxane Gay tweets about it. It totally takes off. People love it. It kind of changes your life.
Oh, yes.
And then you get a call.
I got an email.
What did the email say, and who was it from?
This email was from Will Moss, an editor at Marvel, and was just like, hey, Gabby, we read Juliet. Would you ever consider writing for Marvel? That's it. That's the email. And I'm at my, like, little LGBTQ nonprofit job working, quote unquote, and I get this email, and I just was like, mm-hmm. Like, is this real? You want to talk about changing the life? Marvel and America Chavez changed my life.
And people were so excited because finally someone who shared her identities, queer and Latina, would be writing her story. And I saw that, right? And also when I looked at America, I saw a young Latina in survival mode. See, because her moms had sacrificed themselves to the universe when she was a kid, and she'd been on her own ever since. No wonder she had to be tough. And that link of having to be tough, that rested heavy with me. Like I said, I'm from the Bronx, and the Bronx is tough. Tough like walking past sidewalk memorials and dodging cop towers on your way to the train type of tough. When stuff happens that's bad, people are like, yo, you got to keep it moving. You got to keep trucking. Don't cry. Don't let it get to you. And my mom and my tías and my abuelas, I never saw them take a moment to rest or to invest in self-care. And they're soft. It never left the house. And so that was the first thing that I wanted to give to America, the thing that I wished I'd been able to give to my abuelas and my tías, the thing that I'm trying to give to my mom now, permission to be soft. Like, it's okay to sit in silence and go on a journey just to discover yourself, and your pain will make you crumble and you will fall and you will need to ask people for help. And that's okay. And that being vulnerable is good for us. And so when it came to America's story, I wanted to give her the space to be human, to mess up, and to find soft on her own. So she kind of had to quit her day job. You know what I'm saying? I had to give her a superhero sabbatical. And the first thing I did was enroll her in Justice Sonia Sotomayor University. Because where else would she feel safe and represented and liberated, but a university dedicated to the first Puerto Rican woman nominated to the Supreme Court of the United States. And her first class is Intergalactic Revolutionaries and You. And America is so excited. She's ready to show off her strength. She's ready to show off her portal punching skills. And I stripped that safety net from her right away. And I limited her powers and I changed up her location and shook up her world, because that is what college is like, especially if you're alone.
So when you got the assignment from Marvel, you went away and worked on it. But what was their response when you handed them your first draft? Were they like, yeah, abuela time, softness, and the first Latina Supreme Court justice? Or what did they think?
Yo, listen, this is like my favorite part too of the Marvel story, because that editing team, like Will and Sarah, were so game for all of it. Mm. They loved it. They ate it up. Mm. Especially when, like, I was like, I want Storm to come in and mentor America Chavez, because I had mentors and without them, I wouldn't be where I am. Mm. They were like, we love that. Here's 40 PDFs of Storm from the 1980s. Let's give her the mohawk. See what we've done and then see what you can do to build upon it, right? And I am super thankful for that. And I feel like any team or company or creative entity that is hiring someone based off of like their work, their identities, their queerness, their race, whatever it is, when you bring them in, you gotta support them like that.
In a minute, the mixed response that Gabby Rivera got from Marvel fans for her America Chavez comic series.
Literally two types of fans, right? Fans that love the series and were just happily enjoying the ride, and fans that were so obsessed what they hated, what they didn't think was right with every bit of My America Chavez that they spent so much of their lives writing comments and making videos about it.
I'm Anoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. Stay with us. It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Anoush Zomorodi. And on the show today, we contain multitudes. We were talking to writer Gabby Rivera about her comic book series following the adventures of Marvel character America Chavez, the first queer Latina superhero with her own series.
So America Chavez is essentially like this intergalactic, like, orphan who can punch portals into other dimensions. She has like super strength. And here she is, like, on her own.
This series was a big deal for the comic book genre, and a big deal for Gabby, too, because Gabby is also queer and Latina.
What can I offer her? So much has been taken from her, and yet here she is, like, super powerful.
Gabby was thrilled at the support she got from Marvel Comics and most fans. She was horrified, though, by some of the hate and threats targeting her online, even before the series debuted. People who told Gabby that someone like her had no place in the Marvel universe, or even on planet Earth.
So I'm a masculine-presenting, like, bush-tattooed Latina dyke, essentially. And that's the kind of lesbian that ruins the party, you know what I'm saying? And so people are always going to pick on that. People are always going to fight that. Men always... not all men, obviously, but like men predominantly will be more aggressive when I walk into a space. And so me doing America Chavez was essentially me walking into a very like white male dominated all American type of space. And that like ruffled people's feathers.
You sound very calm about it now, Gabby, but it was more than just ruffling feathers, right? I mean, you were doxxed, your address was put on the web, you got death threats. I mean, it sounds like the attacks online were pretty relentless. Did you think about quitting?
Oh, yeah. I 100% thought about quitting. Writing altogether, not just America Chavez, but I was like, I'm done. Like, I tried my best, and this is what happens, and the world doesn't want me here. Like, these people represent a great majority of this country, and they don't want me.
And not only do they not want me, they want to, like, violently eradicate me from the earth. Mm. Why would I even bother doing this ever again? And, you know, that was such a, like, hard place. That was such an ache. And I honestly don't know how I made it through to the end of the series. Like, Joe Volpe, my agent, just wrapped a huge blanket of protection around me and was like, whatever you need, we are going to help you get through this. Mm. And if you actually do want to stop, then we will figure it out.
But you didn't stop, obviously, and the comic did come out. And it was mostly really well received. Like, what kept you going?
Actually, this is like one of the best parts of my writer experience was... all of a sudden, right, kind of towards the middle of America's run, mom and pop shops and comic book stores across the country started inviting me to do in-store signings. And it was beautiful. Mm. I'll never forget this one family, like, tattooed. I think they were Mexican. And the dad hands me his baby and is like, I just want my son to be a feminist and be a good person. And your America run is part of that. Mm. And I was just like, okay, oh my God. It hit me with such a like burst of joy. And it was like, no, remember, your people are right here. From the white boy comic fans to the little nerdy non-binary like... mixed race kids who had never bought a comic before in their life and had bought America for the first time. The like chubby, effeminate Latino men who were reading America and living for her, right? Like all these points in the comic book shops is where I fell back in love with what I was doing.
Yeah, so I know you just had a baby who we just are hearing squawking.
Oh, my little mama.
Do you think it's going to be different for her? Do you think, like, who gives a crap that she's Latina, gay, all these, like, labels that we put first before we talk about what someone can offer to the world? Like, are we getting to a point where this is a generational thing that's shifting?
I hope so. I hope so. When I have done work and when I'm in community with, like, LGBTQ youth and even just, like, youth that is focused on justice, right? Like coming up in the world, fighting for truth and what's right. I believe that there is a greater world possible. I believe that my little baby who is like screaming her head off out there will at least know that she is loved, right? She will know that she is loved and that she can be anything she wants to be and that just as she is enough.
That's writer Gabby Rivera. You can see her full talk at TED.com.